Cheater on the Rood with Lee Papa and Jeff Kreisler, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Progressive Radio Network.
Good evening, America, world, and universe. This is Jeff Kreisler, and you are listening to Cheater in the Rood. I am joined by
Lee Papa, and I am the writer of the blog, The Rood Pundit, at rudepundit.blogspot.com.
Oh, we're doing I'm also a writer at getrichcheating.com. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, well, I also have a Twitter at Rood Pundit.
I have a Twitter at Jeff Kreisler. What do you got?
Now, I have a book out called The Rood Pundit's Almanac that you can purchase at orbooks.com. Come on, bring it, Kreisler.
I have a book out called Get Rich Cheating that you can purchase everywhere. Boom.
Oh, you can also purchase mine on Amazon.
You're prettier than I am.
Yes, yes, and you're have darker hair.
Yes. Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Cheater in the Rood on Progressive Radio Network. We can sort of compare some greatness, though, about where we both are. I am currently watching the sunset over a lake in New Hampshire, which is beautiful and touching, and we need a little reminder about the great things and the beauty that is America.
And while you're in the natural world there, I am sitting right now on the porch of the Stanley Hotel at the foot of the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. The Stanley Hotel was the inspiration for the Overlook in Stephen King's The Shining. And so I will probably have dementia at some point here, if nothing else because of all the fucking people that are walking around. However, I am staring at Purple Mountain's majesty in the late afternoon sun here in Colorado.
Yeah,
and I've never been here before. So I just took a 3.5 mile mountain hike. And I feel pretty good. Feel pretty good about myself. Feel pretty good about America, Jeff. I feel pretty good about America.
Good. It's a beautiful place, you know, like the West, the vast expanse, the Wyomings, Colorados, Idahos. It's beautiful land, and you wonder why people there vote to destroy it and turn it into a fiery hellscape. But,
yes, yes, I think so. And you know what else we consider the West? You know what other state we consider the West?
California?
Maybe we do that, but what else? What might be another Western state?
Utah?
Yeah, Utah, John Huntsman, coming from being the former governor there. I was thinking Texas. Thinking about Texas.
Texas is considered the West, although it's really the middle.
Yeah, it's the beginning, it's the gateway to the West.
Yeah, well, you know, lucky for us, Texas is the gateway to terrible, destructive, religiously fanatic presidential candidates as well.
That's true. You're right.
You've been hiking all day. Have you heard the news? Apparently Rick Perry has officially, either officially declared or officially declared he's going to declare. Let's see, a Perry spokesman said the government would make his intentions known on Saturday while visiting South Carolina and New Hampshire. It's not yet official, but he's going to be running for president of the United Jesus of America.
You know what's good about that? His state is in such amazing shape right now, undergoing the worst drought in its entire history, to where the people of, say, Big Spring, which is a city that's in between Abilene and Midland.
Dropping names, huh?
Yeah. They now are so desperate for water. Did you hear about this?
Tell us.
They're so desperate that they are considering purifying their sewer water in order to have some drinking water there.
Well, at least that's, recycling. I thought you were going to say they were so desperate for water they were going to consider digging tunnels to find groundwater and have those tunnels go into Mexico, but that would be a little too.
Yeah, no, this is so Rick Perry's state right now, the man who's about to announce to run for president, he's the governor of a state where the people are going to have to drink shit water. And that'll be great when he's at a campaign event toasting the Koch brothers with champagne while we see the people of Big Springs, downing their toilet bowls.
You know what? If the people of Big Springs don't want to drink shit water, they can go to the free market and get themselves some champagne water. I mean, that's what the free market does, right? If you want something, you just click your heels and you get it.
That's true. That's true.
As a friend of mine, speaking of Texas is greatness, as my friend Will Durst used to say, I'll paraphrase his joke, was that Texas is 49th in education as well as many other great landmarks, which means they're behind either Mississippi or Alabama, but not both.
Wow. Yep. That's really, I can't think of a better reason to vote for Rick Perry. I think that he was George W. Bush's lieutenant governor.
Mm.
And you know what's amazing? Not to be Johnny informative, but I was perusing his monthly column that he wrote as lieutenant governor. He was always, I don't know if it was an official column, but he was always writing editorials to the Texas newspapers.
Sure.
About things that he supported. You know that he was a big supporter of children's health care from the government in Texas? Very proud of that. Very
that
proud.
Him. That must have been some sort of socialist alien taking over his body.
You know what else he was proud of? He was just recently he was proud that that Texas agreed to start offering cervical cancer inoculations for young women.
Damn, Texas is crazy.
And the religious fundamentalists are against that because the only way, one of the ways you get cervical cancer, I guess one has to be sexually active. So, in other words, you are telling people it's okay to do the fucking because we will, we'll protect you. The government will protect you. These were the things Rick Perry was for when he was early in his governorship and when he was lieutenant governor.
I think there is sort of, something that we should recognize, that most Republican presidential candidates and Republican presidents at some point were good people. Michelle Bachmann accepted, of course, because
she was always a heinous human being.
Yeah, she's always been. And what's great about her, of course, is that she's basically a welfare queen. I mean, she and her husband make their money off of government funds, but
they make it off of Medicare, right? Medicaid, primarily.
I mean, all the other people have some element. Think of the great Republican candidates, even George W. Bush. There's some elements of their being that are positive. Think about John McCain of the year 2000.
Rewind there. What was positive about George W. Bush?
I'm trying to move on, Lee. I'm trying to make a point and isolate Michelle Bachmann.
I'm sorry. Please make a point.
Okay. My point is, something happens when they have to get national acclaim, a national office, because they have to get through the Republican gauntlet, which is based on people hitting them with fiery pillows. So they have to go extreme. I mean, again, like I said, John McCain, year 2000. I didn't agree with everything, but not a complete wacko.
Mitt
Romney, on all of the various issues, he's taken both sides. So if you're selective on any issue, you can always choose one.
Did you read the article that came out this week in Salon that was about Mitt Romney and how he had his brother-in-law's sister had a back alley abortion in the Roe v. Wade days?
Oh.
And died from complications. And Mitt Romney was very close to this relative when he was a teenager.
And I bet
in a debate with when he was running for Senate in one of his many losing campaigns, he declared that he, because of that experience, even though he may personally be pro-life, he will always support safe, legal abortion, and he would never change on that.
Mm. Well, there's nothing like the allure of the presidential office to make personal integrity, morals, values, ethics, all these fancy words just disappear.
And so your point was that Michelle Bachmann was going to be, I'm sorry because I rudely interrupted.
No, that's your job.
See what I
did there? The Rude Pundit.
Yes. Oh, I killed it?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I have so much bubbling venom about Michelle Bachmann that I can't.
Release some. You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to challenge you, Jeff Chrysler, to rant right now about Michelle Bachmann for just a little bit without using any sexist terminology. You may not call her a bitch. You may not call her a cunt. You may not call her a whore. You may not call her a slut. You may not call her any of these things as you attack her. Because those things would be bad or wrong to call
her. I won't use those. I haven't used those towards her because the evil about her, it goes beyond simple labels. I mean, you know, this is the problem I have with Michelle Bachmann that I can't get past, and I have the same problem with another red-jacketed politician of the female persuasion, and that's not a slur to say female persuasion. It's that they hold themselves out as role models for women, and it upsets me because women are half our population. They have so much to offer, and yet we put them in literally these back alleys, as we just mentioned, putting their life and limb at threat, not paying them 75 cents on the dollar still, and yet these women hold themselves out as examples. And to me, I may have said this before on the air, I don't care if I'll repeat it because it's so true, Michelle Bachmann is a woman like Clarence Thomas is a black man. You know, I get it. If you want to, you know, rise in the ranks of the Republican Party, you have to support their policies that suppress your demographic group. But that doesn't make you, like, a representative of your group. I mean, if that were true, then I'd be, you know, the fifth tallest Jew in the Nazi Party. I mean, these...
Thank you. You made me laugh, sir. You made me laugh.
That's my job. You rudely interrupt. These women that stand on the shoulders of giants and push those giants into the ground by squishing and twisting their heels into their shoulders until the Susan B. Anthony's of the world collapse, roll over in their grave and have bile like spit out of their eyes. It just frustrates me. And, you know, I don't know what it makes me as a man standing up for women's rights and women's contribution to society. I think what it makes me is someone that wants this country to be great and realizes that we need the contribution of all people, not just those that do what those in power, which are for the most part white men, want them to do. And I could go
true
on.
True that,
but I
my
just
friend.
Look at the sunset.
True that, my friend. True that.
Yeah. So you said you were challenging me to a rant about Bachmann with all of those qualifications. What's up in your craw while you look at the Purple Mountains that you
mean about Michelle Bachmann?
Well, it doesn't have to be about Michelle Bachmann. It could be about the deficit committee. There, I'll give you one. Tell me about
the deficit committee. You mean? I was actually thinking about that when you were talking about, you know, what politicians have to be, you know, what women and African Americans have to sort of betray that constituency to become successful in the Republican Party. I was thinking about all of the people that have been appointed by the Republicans. The six people appointed, they're all, you know, old white guys, and that are on the deficit commission. I think the deficit commission is going to be, you know, one slick ride through a heap of bullshit. And we're going to we're wasting a ton of time and a ton of money for them to get to stalemate and for the automatic cuts to kick in. And that's where we're going to be. Or I've lost faith, Jeff. I've lost faith.
I've heard in your letter.
That Democrats would actually stand up and say, we're not supporting anything without more tax revenue. I don't have faith anymore that they're going to do that. I keep hearing bottom lines from Democrats, and then I keep seeing them vote to betray that. It just keeps happening over and over. This poll that came out that said that the majority of Democrats supported the debt deal, you know why? It's because Democrats have been so beaten down and degraded by the politics of the last 2 years that they were thrilled
they got
2%. What's that?
I corrected your 2 years to 20 years, but yes, it's gotten worse in 2 years.
Well,
I'm just talking about
the debt deal.
Yeah, yeah.
That they've been so cruelly treated that they were, well, yeah, you're right, 20 years, that they were happy to get 2% of what they wanted, whereas the Republicans who were against the deal in the Gallup poll, they were upset that 2% was compromised away.
Those right-wing Republicans that want these things to complain, they control almost a third of one-third of the levers of power in this country. I mean, that's like a ninth. Like, we have to do what they say. How would we have the possibility of not doing what they say? They control one-ninth of the government.
Well, let's not forget about them changing the rules of the Senate so that everything needs to have 60 votes.
Yeah.
you know, that, and what was it? There was a filibuster once or twice in a congressional session, and now everything has to get 60 votes.
Yeah, and
nothing
and
gets
the
voted
Democrats
on
again,
because it never gets to the point of being voted for.
Right. No, they, you know, there's two things I want to say about that. One is, I know you're not as much of a sporty guy as I am. I admit that freely, but it feels like the Republicans are sort of now running out the clock until this election, like hoping things stay bad and everything keeps boiling and being run over by hot lava and everything is terrible and not changing anything so that it's terrible, and then they can blame Obama and try to get back into power and ultimately make it worse, but at least have the power. And there was another point I had there, but I just started to get really angry, and I have a heart condition, so I shouldn't do that.
Yes, you do. You do. You just went through our medical system. How was your experience with that?
My experience with the medical system actually was pretty good. It worked smoothly, but, you know, I am very fortunate. I'm, you know, live in the New York City area with some of the best hospitals out there. And I managed to get insurance, even though I'm a freelancer, with the Freelancers Union. So if you're out there listening, check it out. They're a wonderful organization. But I was kind of lucky. And if I didn't have insurance, like, 3 billion of us, I would have been screwed. I had an operation and I needed to stay alive. And I went and I did it. I got to pay for some of it because my insurance doesn't cover all of it, but it's within my reach. Especially if everyone listening to us now buys Get Rich Cheating 1,000 times each.
Yes. You know what? I'd be happy if they bought the Root Pundit's Almanac 10 times each. You know what? I would be happy if somebody... the best review I've heard from somebody is that it is excellent bathroom reading, the Root Pundit's Almanac, if I may.
That's fine. Hey, I got an excellent bathroom reading on my book, too, years ago. I mean, that's...
Chapters. They are crap length chapters,
yeah.
But they're not crappy.
No, I agree. And you know what? It's appropriate because the bathroom may be the last remaining place for people to read, because laptops can go into beds and everywhere else. And until enough people start using their little handhelds to read, the bathroom will be the only place left for literature.
Hey, why don't we take a quick break and we'll come back? And I actually want to ask you about the Standard & Poor's thing.
You do that. Let's take a break. Our engineer tonight is Barry. Barry, take us away for a few. The regular listeners may know, Barry may not know, that is normally our closing song, but I like the change up that Barry gave us to hear that on our break, don't you, Lee?
Yes, I like Barry. I hope Barry's around for a while. Barry, are you going to be around for a while? Barry, get on mic, goddammit.
Okay. I hope I'm
I don't know if he's there, but Barry, I think engineers for our show are kind of like the drummers in Spinal Tap.
Ouch.
Barry, are you going to be around for a little while?
I would like to.
Cool.
Tell my boss you want me around for a while.
Yes, we will tell your boss.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, neither of us are in studio right now, so you can't slip us any bills. So
no.
Yeah, we don't even know what you look like, Barry. Describe yourself.
Well.
This is Progressive Dating Network.
Yeah, right?
Yes, it is. You can say whatever you want.
Barry, we're giving you free mic for 10 seconds. Don't let it be dead air.
Ready,
go.
Describe yourself.
I know.
Let the ladies or the men, depending on your proclivities, know what you look like.
Do I? I'm told by one of the other engineers here that I'm, what, a young buff John Lennon?
You're what?
A young buff John Lennon. I think that's pretty much it.
Ooh, la la.
You could catch that bullet in your teeth, maybe, if it turns bad.
All right, Cheater and the Rude listeners, that's your fantasy for tonight. A young, buff John Lennon.
That's actually, speaking of...
Twisting the knobs.
Did you say twisting the knobs? Speaking of twisting the knobs and sexuality, the big news that I heard today on the way up here on the drive was that CBS Network or whatever, I guess it must have been Viacom, but I guess CBS announced officially that Bert and Ernie will not be getting married.
I think you meant PBS.
Oh, yeah, that makes a lot more sense. It's very beautiful here in New Hampshire. I don't always concentrate on the first letter of three initial networks.
Yes.
But PBS announced that they won't get married.
Well, that's because there was this online movement to try to get Bert and Ernie to get married. But, you know,
I blame Michelle
Bachman.
Marriage
would change their relationship. I think marriage would just, all of a sudden, they'd be checking up on each other more. You know, there'd be the whole mess of mixing their finances. Because really, they should just stay partners.
Right.
Also, that Ernie couldn't make his secret visits to get sodomized by Snuffleupagus.
You know, until that last part, I was going to make some comment about, you know, that's your opinion as a divorcee, but I don't want to know what part of your relationship is sodomy with Snuffleupagus, so we'll just...
Oh, you don't want to know how many times that happens. You know what's
Barry,
funny?
Very available again, for a...
I'm sitting here on the porch of this hotel, and a small child just sat down as I said the phrase, sodomized by Snuffleupagus.
Well, sodomy could mean held in a very cuddling embrace.
Yes, with a penis in a mouth or anus.
Good, I'm glad that you toned it down since the kids are nearby.
Yes.
Speaking of sodomy, I know you wanted to ask me something, but speaking of sodomy, tonight is another Republican candidate debate. Are you fired up? Are you going to have a viewing party there in Colorado? Yeah?
I am not. I will probably be whitewater rafting. Dude, I am in nature for this week, man. I am out in the middle of nowhere. I am going to, I'm going to have sex with a mountain goat or something like that.
Cool. I thought bloggers didn't know what the real America was like. I thought that, like, us angry New Yorkers just, like, stayed and got all, like, fired up, and the people with the guns and the cows knew what it was. So, like, what is this, like, if we visit these parts of the country and appreciate things, is that going to change us?
I like the idea of seeing all parts of the country. You know where I'm going to be next week? I'm going to be in Seattle. So I'm seeing the west part of this great land of ours. Because you know why? Because I want to understand it all. I don't want to be just the privileged little guy up in the northeast that thinks everything's got to be to his liberal ways. No. I want to know what rural, real America and hipster douchebags in Seattle are
Thank
thinking.
You for saying it for me.
So I gotta ask you. You write about business stuff. If I didn't misread your book.
No, it was ghostwritten. But go ahead.
And so what do you make of the Standard & Poor's downgrade of the United States debt?
Well, I think it's hilarious because I find laughing at absurd and soul crushing things to be the best medicine. I mean, the thing that gets me the best about this is Standard & Poor's was already in the book because. This is the rating agency that, if you go back a few scandal generations, they rated Enron highly right before they collapsed. They rated Lehman Brothers highly in 2008, right before they collapsed. You know, this is the agency that rated all of the investment vehicles, the subprime investment vehicles that essentially caused the financial crisis. They rated them highly. And not only did they rate them highly, it wasn't just a matter of, oh, they were wrong, but the way that these Standard & Poor's and Moody's and these other rating agencies work is the company, let's say Lehman Brothers creates an investment vehicle or an investment product. They pay Standard & Poor's to rate it. So they give them money and say rate it. Now, what are you going to do? If you're getting paid by somebody and you want more business, are you going to rate their product shitty? No. They're going to say, oh, it's great. What else you got me to rate for a couple of million dollars? So they not only were wrong, but they were corrupt. They were on the payroll of the people destroying our economy. And now they have the sack. The balls, the cojones, the dingly-dangle Bert and Ernie's between my legs to say that, oh, well, we don't think America's doing so well. Yes, because you should know. You caused it, you cock monkeys. Like, the balls on these guys to come out and say these things. I mean, is it, you know, just because they don't want the power to be taken from them? Because that's part of what's going on now is the government, as impotent as it is starting to talk about how they can rein in the power of the rating agency. So are they trying to make it look like they know what they're doing? I don't know what their problem is, but the fact that these unindicted racketeers are now causing any sort of waves in our national standing is an appalling disgrace, or as the cheating guy would say, a wonderful, joyous thing.
Jeff Chrysler, everyone. Jeff Chrysler.
Is that sort of vaguely where you wanted to go?
No, I had no goal. I had no goal. What the other thing I wanted to ask you is, so with the stock market so wonky right now, where should I invest?
You should invest in satirical authors.
Really? Because I was thinking of speculating in Powerball tickets.
That's not a bad place to go. Do you know any? You know any pensioners that are looking to be taken advantage of? I think I saw a new study again. It comes out all the time about how, you know,
pensioners. Where are you? Are you in England?
Sorry. I saw a fire outside. I thought I was.
Oh yes, yeah. How about those in our stream of consciousness show here? How about those London riots or England riots?
You know, it's kind of interesting because maybe I'm not getting the good news, but I'm finding it to be something hard to get behind. It's not like, oh, let's get behind the Verizon workers striking against Verizon. It sounds like while it was kicked off by somewhat of a racial incident, the rioting just basically became a lot of people with kids on time on their hands being destructive. Now, literally, that is a political and social issue.
Who are attacking people and stealing stuff. And, you know, isn't that the way rioting always is? The first day is perhaps the emotional reaction, and the rest are just opportunistic fuckers.
Right, which sucks. I mean, what's frustrating is that even we here on, you know, the Progressive Radio Network are calling them that, because even the folks that are just, what do you call them, the opportunistic fuckers, even there is a social and political cause to that, because we've got an undereducated population that doesn't have economic opportunities, so the only chance
And you have the severe cutbacks, the austerity measures that the Cameron government put in. Yeah, so it's like a pot that boiled over, man. Pot that boiled over.
Well, it's a preview to what we'll get when we do our austerity measures here. The melting pot.
It'll be great. Because you know what? It'll be like England plus guns.
Yeah.
And then not only guns for the gangbangers that may be doing some opportunistic looting, but also the guns for the Tea Party nutsoids that are going to think it's time to defend America. It's going to be beautiful.
It is. Speaking of beauty, I think we got about a minute and a half left. I want to mention something we'll talk about later, and that was Mitt Romney gave me a cheating boner today because he said that corporations are people, and he started using the phrase "my friends" a lot, which is what McCain did, and I am just so excited for that. Anything you want to throw out there in 30 seconds before I wrap this baby up?
No, I look forward to the Iowa straw poll anointing Michelle Bachmann the head idiot of the idiot committee.
Well, I think that we are more qualified than most to point out idiots because, you know, it takes two to know one. Although
yes, it does.
We idiots
don't
like to destroy
America.
You know
who it takes? You know who it takes?
No.
It takes Cheater and the Rude.
That's who everyone's been listening to. Cheater and the Rude on Progressive Radio Network. We are here every Thursday at 8 p.m. and also on the archives. Track us down on Facebook, Cheater and the Rude, or at Jeff Chrysler on Twitter, or
at Rude Pundit on Twitter, or read rudepundit.blogspot.com. Barry, hit that fucking music.
He's done it. We'll see you guys with your listening stuff next week.